Well, good morning again, local church. How are we doing today? Everybody's good? Awesome. Yeah, great day. Kicking it off with baptisms. Can't beat that ever. Always incredible. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, I'm Paul Ballington. I get to be the lead pastor here at Local Church, and we are honored and grateful to have every single one of you here with us this morning, and to all the husbands that we have with us this morning. Do you ever lose in an argument with your wife? Every one of us should have our hands up right now. Amen. Now, this morning, though, I'm not talking about the arguments, the real deal arguments that we all have in marriage. Right now, I'm referring more to the silly, fun, banter, back and forth type arguments that we have in marriage. You guys know what I'm talking about. The ones where we as husbands think we are right about something, and in those moments, we will be bold, meaning we will be fully confident, fully courageous, no fear. We are boldly thinking we are right. This always ends well, doesn't it, men? Yep. Now, this happens all the time between me and my wife, Nicole. We'll start going back and forth about something, and it's completely fun and lighthearted, but still in the midst of this banter back and forth, if I think I'm right, I'm as bold as a lion, church. I'm fully confident, fully courageous, no fear at all. After all, I think I'm right. To all the men in the room right now that are not married yet, take notes this morning, okay? There's a lot for you to learn here in the beginning of this message. So a few weeks back, me and Nicole were watching a movie together. This movie's called The Right Stuff. It's a great movie about the early days of the space program. And as we're watching it, one of the scenes shows this actor that's playing astronaut John Glenn. And I tell Nicole, wow, I had no idea that Woody Harrelson is in this movie. She looks at me and says, you didn't know that because he's not in this movie. Right? Now, this is one of them moments, church, where I decide to be bold because I am sure that that actor playing astronaut John Glenn is Woody Harrelson. I'm fully confident. I'm fully courageous. There's no hesitation that I am not right. I'm being bold. I know that I'm right. So then it starts. The back and forth about who this actor is. We're going back and forth about it. Totally harmless argument, but I'm feeling 110% confident that, hey, that I am right, that this is Woody Harrelson. And you guys know what happens next. Google gets involved. But before Nicole grabs her phone, I double down on my boldness and I say, go ahead and look it up. I know that I'm right. I'm so sure that I'm right that if I'm wrong, I'll clean the house top to bottom. I'll dust the fans, I'll mop the floors, I'll even clean behind the toilet, okay? It's just a bold move on my part. But before I even get done saying that, she has looked it up and just turns her phone towards me so I could see it, that it is indeed not Woody Harrelson, that it's actor Ed Harris. And she just smiles real big, and y'all know the rest of the story. I cleaned the entire house from top to bottom. To all the married men in the room, we've all been there. To all the men that aren't married yet, hopefully you learned something this morning. Be careful about how and when you are going to be bold, especially in marriage. Most of the time, our wives are right, okay? Just go ahead and clean the house just to do it because you love her and you want to serve her, not because we have to lose an argument. But with boldness and being bold, us being courageous and fully confident in things, when is it appropriate to be bold? When is it right to be courageous and fully, completely confident? Maybe some of you are sitting here thinking right now, well, Paul, I'm not really that type of person. I don't feel like I'm really a very bold person. And I would have to tell you, I respectfully disagree with you. I'm friends with most of you on Facebook, and we all see every day what you are bold about. But the funny thing about boldness, I feel like we as people tend to be boldest about the silliest of things. Every year, I am boldly believing that the Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl. Every year, I'm confident that this is going to happen. One of these years, I'll be right. I do the same thing with Florida Gators football. Every time, I'm boldly believing that the Gators are going to win the national championship. FSU fans, you guys do the same thing. But when you're bold like this, it's called delusion, okay? But church, we do this with everything from sports teams to our political views and everything in between. But what about the boldness that we have in our faith? If we take a good look at ourselves right now and we asked ourselves, how bold are we about our faith? How courageous are we about our faith? How confident are we about our faith? How fearless are we in our faith? If all of us had to answer that question right now and we were honest, what would our answer be? Better yet, while we wrestle with that question, what does the Bible say about being bold in our faith? Do we see boldness carried out in the Bible? And the answer to that is yes. And the answer for all of us this morning about how bold we are about our faith, the answer for most of us is that we could definitely grow in this area of our faith. But I want you to be encouraged this morning, church. God wants to grow us in our boldness for him. And that's exactly what we're going to see today as we continue in our greatest movement series. We're going to see how God grew and used the boldness of the early church to keep the greatest movement moving as we continue to walk through Acts chapters 1 through 9. And today we're going to see how God calls us to that same level of boldness and how he wants to use all of us in the same way to keep the greatest movement moving and growing. If you have your Bibles or devices with you today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. You can also track along in the program that you should have received on your way in. But before we jump into the scripture, let me pray for us. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you for local church. Thank you for allowing us to meet this morning. Thank you for the baptism that we got to celebrate. Lord, I pray for every person that's here, every person that makes up local church. God, would you open our minds and our hearts as we dive into your word? Lord, we thank you for your word, the gift that it is, the infallible truth that it is, that it never changes, that it's always the same. Lord, that you've gifted it to us. Open our minds and our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, I pray for all of our teams that are serving this morning. Would you continue to give them boldness? Would you give them wisdom and strength? Would you give wisdom and strength to our local kids team right now that's serving all of our children and loving on them and teaching them about you, Jesus? Would you give them all that they need? Lord, would you be with me as I deliver this message and preach and teach your word? I thank you for the opportunity that you give me week in and week out to lead local church. Lord, would every word that leaves my mouth bring you honor and glory and engage people to draw them nearer to you, Jesus, and you would draw nearer to us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, so we're going to start with the first four verses of Acts chapter 4. This is what it says. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So this is what we have going on here in the first part of Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have just performed a healing to a man that was born with a physical disability. They tell everyone how Jesus is the one that performed this healing. He's the one that healed this man. There's a huge crowd that's come around Peter and John listening to them. And the religious leaders of the Jewish people, they're angry. The Sadducees, part of the Jewish leaders, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So all this talk about Jesus's resurrection, it's making them very angry. They're angry because this puts the power that they have with the people in a dangerous place. If people start believing this about Jesus, they think that they are going to lose their position and their place of power. And these are the same leaders that sent Jesus to the cross. And here they are now, they're arresting Peter and John. They're angry. Despite all of that, we see 2,000 people added to the early church because of the healing of this man and how Peter used this platform to preach the gospel. The greatest movement is moving. But now what we see is we see the first real trouble the early church has encountered since the death of Jesus. So then the next day comes. Peter and John have spent the night in jail. All the religious leaders, they get together. Remember, this is the same group of men that sent Jesus to the cross and killed him. And they have Peter and John brought before them, and they ask them this: by what power or what name did you do this? And this is where we start to see the boldness of the early church. Scripture tells us this in verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, If we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Peter is being bold. He is not shrinking back in any way. He's fully courageous. He's fully confident. He doesn't appear to have any fear in him as he stands before this council after spending a night in jail. Now, this is a big deal. This council carries serious weight and authority in Jerusalem. Again, this is the same group of men that had Jesus crucified. This is the same group of men that Peter and all the other disciples had run and hid from just 100 days prior to this day when Jesus was arrested. This is the same group of men that the original disciples were hiding behind locked doors from before God sent them the Holy Spirit. This is the same group of men that just 100 days before had Peter so scared that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But now, Peter was being bold. He wasn't scared at all. He was fully courageous, fully confident. What happened to create this change in Peter and the original disciples? How did they go from running around, hiding in fear, to standing boldly in front of the same council of men that killed Jesus, boldly proclaiming Jesus' name? What happened? Well, they came to truly believe and know who Jesus was and is. And that's why our first point together today is belief in Jesus leads to boldness. Belief in Jesus leads to boldness. Peter's standing there and he isn't just saying Jesus' name. He tells these Jewish leaders all about Jesus and he just keeps going. In verse 12, he says this, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Peter is boldly preaching the gospel to the men that killed Jesus. Not only does he tell them all about the gospel, but he also makes sure that they remember, hey, you're the ones that did this. You're the ones that crucified and killed Jesus. I think boldness might be an understatement here, but the point remains the same. Peter went from being scared for his life to being bold as you could possibly be for Jesus. He knows that these men can have him killed, but he doesn't care. God has created in Peter a belief in Jesus that has grown his boldness to a powerful level that God is using in an incredible way. So bold, in fact, that the religious leaders are dumbfounded by the boldness. The boldness is so strong that they take notice of this change in Peter. This is what the scripture tells us next in verse 13. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Verse 13 should encourage every single one of us here that are followers of Jesus, that have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior and are following him and have given our lives to him. This scripture says that they were unschooled, ordinary men. This should encourage us in our boldness for Jesus and our belief in Jesus. But before we really dig into verse 13, let's ask ourselves real quick, has our belief in Jesus led to boldness for him? Can we right now think of the last time that we were bold in our belief of Jesus? Or have we fallen into this trap of thinking that this level of boldness is just for the pastor and the people that work at the church full time? Do you think that Jesus hasn't called you to this same level of boldness for him? If you think that, don't accept that lie, friends. Don't listen to that lie trying to tell you that you don't know enough or you don't have enough schooling. The original disciples that Jesus used to start the greatest movement the world has ever seen were unschooled, ordinary men. They were fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors, and the list goes on. They were unschooled, ordinary men. But here's the biggest part. The religious leaders took note that these men had been with Jesus. It didn't matter that they were unschooled and ordinary. All that mattered is that they had spent time with Jesus. Because if you spend time with Jesus, If you place your belief and trust in Jesus, he's going to lead you to boldness. He's going to lead you to do things that are courageous, things that people will see, that they will know that, hey, that person has spent time with Jesus. And church, this is the boldness that our world desperately needs right now. Because we can be bold about our sports team. We could be bold about our political beliefs and everything else in between. But is our boldness for Jesus outweighing the boldness that we have for these other things in our lives? This is the boldness that God is calling us to. This is the right kind of boldness. This is the boldness that God wants to use to keep the greatest movement moving forward. Now, does this mean that all of us that follow Jesus will one day stand in front of leaders and have to answer for our faith in Jesus? And in that moment, we're going to have to make a decision. Do we get bold? Do we decide to be bold and possibly die for our faith? Or do we shrink back and do we deny? I don't know the answer to that question for all of you. There may be some of us in this room that will have to stand in front of a council of people, in front of leaders like this, and answer for our faith. And I pray that if that happens for any of us in that moment, that we would be bold just like Peter. But for most of us, we'll probably never have to face that threat in our lifetimes. So if we're not facing that threat, how can we still be bold like Peter in the early church in our daily lives today? The better question may be, are we placing ourselves in opportunities to be bold for Jesus? And a lot of you are. I just want to encourage us as a church real quick right now. Local is filled with teachers and business owners, nurses, medical staff, all our folks that work in the space industry. And I hear these stories week after week, day after day, of how all of you are being bold for Jesus in your faith. Teachers, you were unconditionally loving children that aren't your own, just like Jesus. Your belief in Jesus and the time that you spent with Jesus is showing through in your boldness in the classroom. Not only are you changing a student's life right there in that moment, but you are changing their eternity. Business owners here at Local, your boldness is showing through how you love and serve your employees, how you love and serve our community through your generosity, all of that being used to keep the greatest movement going. You've spent time with Jesus, and it shows. Every other career that's represented here at Local, from Parish Medical Center to the Space Center and everywhere in between, you've spent time with Jesus, and it shows. All of that is being used to keep the greatest movement growing and moving. Your belief in Jesus has led you to boldness. Your time with Jesus, it can be seen. And God, again, is using that boldness to keep the greatest movement moving. Lives are being changed. You're pushing back the darkness of this world and you're gaining ground for the kingdom. Keep being bold, local church. Keep spending time with Jesus. Your boldness is evidence of that. And God is using it to keep the greatest movement moving forward. But like we talked at the beginning of this message, no matter where we fall on this boldness scale, there's always room for us to be more bold, to be more courageous, to be more confident, to be more fearless. So, what bold move do we need to make for Jesus today? How are people going to know that we've been with Jesus this week? Is this gonna be the week that we invite that neighbor to church? Is this week gonna be the week that we invite that coworker to church? Is this week going to be the week that you get plugged into a local group so you can be discipled and keep growing into the man or the woman that God has called you to be? Is this week going to be the week that you share Jesus with somebody we know that is far from him? Someone that we know desperately needs the gospel, the life-saving, life-changing message of Jesus. Will we be bold and tell others what Jesus has done for us? That's the right kind of boldness, local church. That's the boldness God is calling us to. I want you all to remember, you don't have to be educated and you don't have to be something special. All that matters is that you've spent time with Jesus. If you have, your boldness will show through. Others will take notice that you've spent time with Jesus. Just like the religious leaders did with Peter and John, they noticed the change. They saw how they served others and the confidence in which they spoke of Jesus, and they were perplexed to say the least. The text goes on to tell us this, that all these religious leaders, they got together to try to figure out what to do. And this is what happened in verses 16 and 17. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a noticeable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. The religious leaders are completely shocked, dumbfounded, and mad. They have no idea what to do. They think that they can somehow stop the early church from talking about Jesus. Let's see how this plays out. Verses 18 and 19. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. And then right after that comes one of my favorite verses out of the Bible, verse 20. As for us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John kept being bold. They knew for certain what they believed, and they refused to be scared. They refused to back down. They knew what God had called them to do. They had spent time with Jesus, and they were telling others about him. And we see the religious leaders, they continue to threaten them, and then they decide to let him go. They had no choice in that moment. This boldness had led so many people to believe. So many people had witnessed the power of Jesus. They had to let him go, or they were going to have a massive riot and uprising on their hands. And we see the boldness of Peter and John and what it showed us. The boldness of the early church, it was doing something. It showed and it was proving this, that boldness in Jesus breaks boundaries. Boldness in Jesus breaks boundaries. That's our final point together this morning. After all of this goes down, the healing of the lame man, the 2,000 people being added to the church, Peter and John going to jail and then being threatened by the religious leaders, Peter and John, they go back to everyone that made up the early church, and they shared with them everything that happened, all the threats the religious leaders had made. And when the church hears all about this, they prayed. They prayed together. They praise God for who he is. They brought these threats that they were hearing from the religious leaders and they put them up to God and they prayed. But church, what do you think they prayed for? Did they pray for protection? Did they pray and ask God to comfort them? Did they pray and ask God to deliver them from these threats? No. In the midst of all this happening, they prayed for boldness. They knew what they were up against, but they knew the power that God has, and they knew what they believed, and they asked for more boldness. They asked for more power. Listen to what they prayed, and listen to how God showed up. In verses 29 through 31, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. When we read that scripture, when we read about the early church and everything that's happening, if we were to get really honest right now with ourselves, how many of us pray like this? How many of us ask God to make us more bold? How many of us ask God to show up and show off through us? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to God to be comforted. There's nothing wrong with bringing our concerns to God. He calls us to do that. But if what was going down in the early church was happening right now in our community, would we respond the same way? Would our first response to any kind of barrier of the gospel be to ask for more boldness and power? I hope and pray that it would be. I hope that out of this message today and hearing about what happened in Acts chapter 4, that local is filled with people that are asking for boldness and asking for power so that God would show up and show off, so that God would use local to saturate Mims and North Brevard with the gospel, so that our boldness in Jesus would break down any kind of barrier that we face, that God would use us in such a powerful way in our community that people would look at our community and they would say, those people have spent time with Jesus. They can't help but talk about what they have seen and what they have heard. In church, we would see the greatest movement keep going, keep Mumi, that we would keep reaching others, serving our community, that we keep cultivating faith, that we would keep planting churches, so much so that the boldness God has called us to in Mims, Florida, would break down so many barriers that somebody from local church would be the person to share Jesus with the last person that needs to hear it at the ends of the earth. Amen? Can we be bold, local church? Because this is the boldness that the world needs right now. That's the boldness that God is calling us to. He hasn't called us to a life of comfort until we enter into eternity forever. He's called us to ask and pray for boldness and to pray for power so that we can be used by him to push back the forces of darkness that are trying to overtake our communities, our families, and our lives. That's the boldness that the early church had. That's the boldness that got the gospel to right here in Mims, Florida, so we are able to worship right here this morning. Now it's our turn, church, to take it to the ends of the earth. For some of us, maybe you feel challenged this morning because you've prayed and you've prayed for years, you've been following Jesus for years, but maybe you've never prayed and asked for boldness. And maybe today that's the step for you. You could still go to God to be comforted, of course. You could still go and bring all your concerns to God. But maybe it would start with saying, God, would you help me to be bold for you? Would you allow me to your power to work through me? Would you show up and would you show off through me? Could I be bold for you? And what we're going to do is we're going to take that boldness and we're going to break down the barrier keeping us from talking to our neighbor about Jesus. Some of us are going to take that boldness and power and break down the barrier of walking across the hallway to share Jesus with our coworker. Some of us, we're going to take that boldness and power to completely change how we run our business. And we're going to be bold with Jesus in our business dealings and our services. And it's going to break down barrier after barrier after barrier that is keeping people from knowing the good news, the gospel, the life-saving, life-changing message of Jesus. That's the boldness, church. That's the boldness that the early church prayed for. We saw God show up, show off, and they did exactly what Jesus told them to do back in Acts 1:8, the same command that we are still following, to go and be his witnesses in all Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This hasn't stopped. The greatest movement is still moving. But church, we have to be a church that's asking, Lord, would you help me to be bold? We are all called to do this. In one way or another, God has hardwired us to be bold for him. And we all have our unique circumstances and areas of life and spheres of influence that we have that we can be bold for Jesus. Because we don't have a problem being bold. We could be bold for our sports teams, our political beliefs, and again, everything in between that we choose to have a strong opinion on. But this right here, church, is the boldness that matters. This is the only boldness that at the end of the day is really going to matter. Were we bold for Jesus in the moments and the opportunities that he allowed us to be bold for him so that we could break down these barriers so people could see that person has spent time with Jesus? Because somebody here today, you've been shaken by the boldness of this scripture. You've been surrounded this whole time, a little over an hour now, by a bunch of people that spend time with Jesus. And that boldness in Jesus has broken down a barrier that is keeping you from knowing Jesus for yourself. So can I ask you this morning, if that's who I'm talking to, can you be bold? Will you take that step, that bold step, and place your confidence and your trust in Jesus? Will you be bold and allow the greatest movement that the world has ever known to finally move towards you and reach you? Are you ready to be bold and place your faith and your belief and your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior? You heard the scripture today for yourself, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Church, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. That scripture that we read earlier, they were unschooled, ordinary men. Church, I'm just an unschooled, ordinary man. There's nothing special about me in any way, but I've spent time with Jesus, and all I can do is tell you about what I've seen and what I've heard and how Jesus has saved my life. And the same Jesus that saved my life is ready to save yours. The same Jesus that is dwelling inside all of us through his Holy Spirit, through all of us that have confessed him as Lord and Savior of our life, he's calling us to be bold for him. Our community desperately needs it. Our world desperately needs us. They need less boldness in all these other ways, but they need us to stand up and be bold for Jesus. And church, if we do this, we will see a move of the gospel sweep through our community like something we've never seen in our lifetimes. When we could stand up and be bold for Jesus. And again, that same Jesus that saved me, if you're here this morning and you've never taken that bold step of giving Jesus your life, that same Jesus that saved me, just an unschooled, ordinary, good old boy that grew up right here in Mims, Florida, he wants to save you. And all I can keep doing week after week is telling you about what I've seen and what I've heard. And you guys take this and you go tell others about what you've seen and what you've heard. And it's the same message, church. The gospel, the good news, that though we weren't worthy of it, God knew the only way that we would ever be back into right standing with him was if his son Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived the only perfect life ever lived, died a death that he didn't deserve. God raised him from the dead. Now he is sitting in heaven at the right hand of God. And all he calls us to do is to be bold and place our faith in him. And somebody here this morning, you need to take that step. Maybe you've been coming to local for a while. Maybe it's your first time ever. And I'm so glad that you're here for today. I hope that this scripture, that this story, that this true account of the early church and how they were operating and the prayers that they prayed, that boldness, how you would see how that completely flip-flopped, that Peter went from this man that denied Jesus three times to just a little over 100 days later, he's standing in front of the same council that killed Jesus. And they're telling him, hey, you need to stop saying Jesus. And he said, well, you tell us what's right. This is what God calls us to do, but you be the judge. But all we can do is say about what we've seen and what we've heard. What caused that? Because it's true. You look at Christianity and all the other different religions in the world, okay? And we're going to talk about it more next week in Acts chapter 5 and 6. Is Jesus goes to the cross and he dies, right? There's so much great evidence. Like, this is a historical account of this thing happening. I mean, you can even check historical sources that are secular, meaning they're not religious, that they know Jesus was this real man that lived and breathed and walked and taught. But the things that Jesus taught, C.S. Lewis said it well. He's either a liar or a lunatic, or he is indeed Lord. So you can't believe in Jesus just as this good and moral teacher, and that's going to save your life, because the things Jesus said, when we place our faith and our belief and our trust in it, change happens. That belief in Jesus leads to boldness. That boldness for Jesus breaks down boundaries. And the church was facing so many boundaries, but here's some church history for you. So all 12 disciples, right? Judas sold Jesus out. He ends up taking his own life. Like we read in Acts chapter 1, they replaced Judas. So all 12 of those disciples, they go on to die for Jesus. Peter, the man we wrote about today, he was hung upside down on a cross. When they finally got to him, because he had preached so much Jesus, they said, this is enough, man. There's too many people that are believing this. We're losing our power as people. People were experiencing true freedom. True Holy Spirit. They were experiencing Jesus. They were spending time with Jesus. And the greatest movement was moving and sweeping across the world. They finally got hold of Peter. They say, hey, man, enough's enough. Because he wouldn't stop. This is what he told them. He said, hey, you can hang me on that cross, but you need to hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to hang on it the same way that my Lord and Savior was. So tell me, church, that just doesn't happen by believing in a good and moral teacher. No, Jesus is Lord. He is Savior. That is the only explanation behind this. And he's called us all to the same boldness. So will we be bold, church? You guys know the mission here at Local. We want to reach our community. We want to cultivate faith. Okay, we want to serve our community. And we want to keep planting churches. There's a ton of people in our community that desperately need Jesus. They need all of us to be bold for Jesus so we can break down those barriers, and they can come to know the same saving grace that all of us have known. Amen, church. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you, God, for the book of Acts. Thank you for how well you preserve, Lord, the history of the early church, and we have it to study And Lord, the same boldness that you called the early church to, Lord, would you help us to live out our faith with that same boldness? Jesus, thank you for allowing us to know you. You don't owe us anything, but you allow us to know you, Lord. We're so grateful for that. God, would you work in each believer here, each person that's here at Local, that makes up Local and knows Jesus as Lord and Savior? Would you help us to be bold, Lord? Would we never shrink back? Any opportunity that you place in front of us to share the goodness of you, Jesus, will we take it seriously? Will we handle it the way that you desire us to? Lord, I pray for the individual here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you yet, Lord. And the first thing they have to do is what all of us did, is take that first bold step of coming to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for that individual right now. Would you work in their mind, their heart, and their soul? Any fear, any anxiousness that they're feeling right now, Lord, would you take it away? Or would you help them to take that bold move of coming to the front and giving their life to you, Jesus, so your greatest movement would keep on moving? Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.